and called. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Now that's all I'm going to read at this time, but I pray that God will bless the reading of His Word and that it will be for our good and for His honor and glory. And my subject for this morning will be Bible, faith, and values. Bible, faith, and values. I do want you to pray for me. I feel the need of the help of God. We're living in a very distressing time in many ways. Now, I'm not a pessimist. I don't think that things are as bad as they can get. I think they can get worse. But I try to be an optimist, and I try to look forward to better things. For the blessings of God upon our church and upon each one of us and upon our nation. But I know there are a lot of divisive things that are going on in the public arena. It seems like, as Jesus said, that brother would be against brother and sister against sister and so on. It seems like there's a time when there's a real strong effort being made to cause division and divisiveness in our country. And it's very disturbing. America is not what it used to be. And, Catherine Bates, she wrote a song called America the Beautiful. And some of the words in that song, she said, America, God shed His grace on thee. And God has been good to our nation and to our country. He's been good to our people. He's been good to me. And I'm going to assume that He's been good to you. Because God is good. And as the cliche says, God is good all the time. Not just part of the time. He's good all the time. But He shed His grace on this great nation. And He crowned, her song says, He crowned thy good with brotherhood. There was a time when there was not all of this division. It seemed back years ago that everybody had the best interest of the country in mind, you know. Even legislators and all of that, you know. There was somewhat of a brotherhood. Men respected each other. They loved each other. And they wanted what was best for each other. And that was one of the highlights, I think, of this nation, the brotherhood. And the way that God blessed us and made our land a good land. The nation's been called the land of the free and the home of the brave. And I think it was that way because of the values that we hold. The values that we have stood for down through the years. And I just feel like today that we need to pray that God will help us as a nation of people. That He'll help our rulers and our leaders. That they will be able to focus more on doing things the way they should be done. And in the interest of the welfare of our people. The country has been called the land of liberty and freedom. And we all know that these precious values are being undermined, and that they are disappearing and going away. They're being threatened, and that's the point I wanted to make. And I think as we come to the close of 2021, I think that America is not as beautiful as it used to be. And I think that we should work at that, and we should spend more time in prayer. We may never influence Washington. That's, you know, where the seat of our government is, Washington, D.C. And you and I, as a church and as members of the church, we may never have any influence whatsoever on Washington, D.C. In fact, we may not even have any influence on Frankfort, Kentucky. You know, we may not have any influence in the mayor's office in Bowling Green even. But I'm going to tell you something. We can have influence on our people, upon our children, upon our brothers and our sisters, our husbands and our wives. We can have an influence upon them. And that's the point of my message today. Paul, in giving instructions to the church at Ephesus, it's in the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians, and I want to turn over there and share that with you just for a few moments of time. He started out by talking to the children. And he said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Parents, you know, they have the authority over their children as long as they are living at home and they're not adults. The parents have authority, and children should listen to their parents. And he went on and he said, there's a reason for that. He said, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. That commandment has a promise attached to it. And this is the promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long upon the earth. Now, there is a promise that is attached to honoring your father and your mother and obeying them. And I would to God that some way, somehow, that we could have more influence upon our children. That we could teach them the ways of God and instill in them the importance of serving God. First of all, children need to get saved. Because that's a personal responsibility, and that's something that no one can do for you. You have to seek the Lord yourself for your own salvation. And if you don't do it, it will not be well with your soul. The day will come when you will die, and you will be eternally lost forever. But the next thing that he mentioned was, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, he said, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We need to have influence in our own families, over our own children. And we need to insist, you know, on them being brought up in the way that they should go. And the Bible says that if we do that when they are old, they'll not depart from it. But he goes on, and then he speaks to the servants. He said, servants, be obedient to your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart as unto Christ. You know, in the workplace, we should still honor God and the Lord Jesus in our workplace. We should, if you have an employer, be thankful that you have a job. He goes on and he says that our service that we render as servants, as workers, he said, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. So there's some instructions to those of us who are servants, who are not only servants in the church, and servants in the church need to take notice to this also. But not only to those of us who do service in the church, but to us who do service, the people we work for. And he said, with good will, doing service as unto the Lord and not unto man. Knowing this, he said that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall be he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And then he turns to the masters. I suppose in those days they were slave owners. Or maybe they were those who, had ranches and they had herds of cattle and herds of sheep. And so maybe they were farmers and they had people working for them. And he said, ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there any respect of persons with him. Our master is in heaven, and there's no respect of persons with him. And he treats everybody alike. And when we do what we ought to do, the Lord blesses. When we don't do what we ought to do, the Lord punishes. And I'm glad that he does that. He does it for a reason. The reason is to correct us so we won't keep doing the same bad things all the time, so that we'll do good things. And then he says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the wiles of the devil. Now I'm telling you that the devil is on the loose. The devil is behind all of this confusion and all of this dissension and all of these evil things that are being promoted in the world today. The devil is behind it. He's crafty. He has many devices that he uses. He turns people against each other. He turns nations against each other. He does all kinds of evil things. And he said that we need to be strong in the Lord. Now I'm talking to Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church and to every Christian that is present. Thank you for coming. We appreciate your presence. But I tell you, we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You know, a lot of people talk about anymore, we go to church, but there's no power there. There's a reason for that. There is a reason for that. And we need to take it under consideration. He went on and he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, we've never had a fight here in the altar, we've never wrestled physically with one another. He said, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the darkness of this world. I didn't read that right. Against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Satan, he is busy. And he wants to hinder. And he wants to destroy the influence of God. God is the supreme being, not the devil. God is ruler over all. And he wants to bless, and he wants us to have peace. He wants us to be a nation of people that will recognize him and recognize his authority. He wants us to live by the Bible. You know, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. When we stand before God at the judgment, we're going to give an account unto God based upon the Word of God. And so the devil, he's at work, and he's wanting to destroy this country. I think one of the main reasons why is because those who came to America to settle this country, they came for religious freedom so they could worship without being oppressed, so they could worship without being persecuted, so they didn't have some hierarchy over them telling them how to worship. We are to worship God, and the Bible said if we worship him, there's only one way to do it. That's in spirit and in truth. We need to worship the Lord. But the devil don't want us to worship the Lord. The devil is God's adversary. The devil hates God, and he hates God's people that are trying to worship God. And he will distract us. He'll put everything in our minds and in our hearts. He'll turn us against one another. He'll do everything that he can to stop the influence of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he said, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand." And so it's going to take a special effort on the part of God's people if we're going to keep the doors of our churches open. You know, if we're going to have an influence among our own families and among our neighbors and among the people we work with, if they're going to see the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to take a special effort on our part for them to see it. And that's what Jesus said, "Let your light so shine," that is, shine in such a way that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So let's move on. You know, I said we may not be able to influence Washington or Frankfurt or Bowling Green as far as the civil government is concerned. But I tell you, that's our main responsibility is in our community and in our church. Our responsibility is right here. Right here. Especially in this church, as members of the church. The pastor is not the most important person in the church. You know who is? The people that make up the body. You can have the best learned pastor, you know, the one who is, you know, a perfect orator, you know, who can do all things right. And if the people don't get behind him and help him, he's not going to be a success. The people have to get behind their pastor. I don't know, you know, I looked this morning in the last minute that we had printed before this last year. It was 2019. We had 80 in Sunday school. That was our average in Sunday school. And it's way down, you know, it's way down. I know we've had the pandemic and all this, that, and the other. And I know the devil is a master of fear, too. You know, the devil, if he can keep us out of church, he'll keep us all out of church. But we have to, we have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And we need to take up the cross. Jesus said, if you don't take up the cross and follow me, you're not worthy of me. So we need to take up the cross. It's my responsibility, you know. I want you to look at it like that. You know, don't look at it like it's a deacon's responsibility or, you know, it's a song leader's responsibility. It's a preacher's responsibility. We need to look at it. It's my responsibility. I have a work to do. And so we can't save everybody. I know that. Paul knew that as well. In the 11th chapter of the book of Romans, Paul, he wrote in the 13th verse. And he was talking about him being an apostle to the Gentiles. But he still had a heart for the Jews. You know, they were not his responsibility any longer officially. His responsibility was to the Gentiles. But he said, I magnify my office. I make it bigger, enlarge it. I'm not satisfied just to do the minimum requirement. I want to do more. And he said, if by any means I might save some of them. Now, he knew he wasn't going to be able to preach the gospel to everybody, and that not everybody would be saved. But listen, maybe we can save some of them. Maybe we can reach some of them with the gospel, that they'll get under conviction and get saved. I'm trying to emphasize, you know, this church is important. This church is important to the city of Bowling Green. They may not realize it, I tell you, but I'm saying that it was planted here by Almighty God, and it is has a special purpose in this city. And we need to fill our places in the house of God and take up the cross and follow the Lord Jesus. Say, oh, it's too hard. Well, I expect it's kind of hard for Jesus. What he did, you know, I suspect every one of us would have refused to have done it. But not him. He didn't do it. So, pastor's important. I'm not, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not suggesting that the pastor's not important. He is. But if he don't have the members of the church behind him, you know, he won't be the success that he could be. So, we need to build up this church. Amen. We need to build it up. Do you know how many was at Bible study last Wednesday night? 9, including the teacher. 9 people. We ought to want to learn from the Word of God. We need to be taught. You know, I'm still being taught. I learn things from hearing other preachers. I go to a lot of funerals. Mabel said to me, why do you go to funerals? I said, I go to learn. I learn from other preachers. I learn from the Word of God. I hear them discussing the Word of God. And a lot of times they shed light on things that I have studied and wondered about. And they help me. And you can be benefited by going to church. You can be benefited by going to Sunday school. We have 300 and some members. Nearly 400 members, I believe. I tell you, we ought to have 200, 250 people in Sunday school every Sunday morning. You know, we have to be responsible. You know, this is important. You think of the way the world's going. You think about all the evil that's being presented and projected and pushed in the world today. We're going to have to take a stand. We're going to have to stand up for Jesus. I had my mother's sister. Every time she went to church, she didn't say a lot, but she'd stand up and she said, "I just want to stand up for Jesus." Well, we need to stand up for Jesus. I think we're too worldly minded, folks. We're interested in everything else that's going on, but we're not interested in what's going on at church. You say, "Now, preacher, that's hard." That was hard for me to say. That was hard for me to say. You know why? Because I love you all. And I love this church. But you know, the weather don't get too bad for us to do worldly things. You know, whatever that we want to do, you know. And it don't bother us to miss church to do worldly things like it ought to. Going to church and serving the Lord Jesus should be our number one priority. If we'll do that, He'll take care of all these other things. He will. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things shall be added unto you. We need to put the Lord first. The church is an assembly. It is a body of people that has assembled. It's not a record book, you know. A lot of people get their name on the record book, and they're so proud to be a member of the church and never show any interest in the church at all. Now, an ideal church is a church that comes together and they sing, and they make melody in their hearts to the Lord. And they study the Word of God so they can grow in grace and in the knowledge of the truth. And they are a witness for the Lord Jesus. They testify. And they tell about their salvation. You know, testifying for the Lord is bragging on Him. It's not, you know, bragging on ourselves. It's not telling what we've done, you know. It's telling what the Lord has done. And them kind of testimonies will bring the power of the Lord into the church. When we testify and hold up Jesus, and we tell what Jesus would have us to do. So the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Don't do it. Just keep on keeping on. If there's a little bit of hardship in it, just go on and do it anyway. And the Lord will bless you for the effort. And don't be afraid. God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. And I can't quote the rest of that. It's in the book of Timothy, but I won't take the time to go to it. Now I want you to listen, and I'm almost done. How do we counter the wicked ways of the world and the wiles of the devil? How do we do it? This spiritual wickedness that's in the world. There's a lot of spiritual wickedness. People are being deceived by the thousands, by perhaps even the millions. That's spiritual wickedness. How do you counter it? By standing together and being strong in the Lord. By grounding our children and our grandchildren in the faith and in the truth. Now listen, there is a system of doctrine. It's called the faith. The faith. It runs all the way from Genesis to Revelation. It never varies in any generation. It's the truth. And it runs all the way through the Word of God. It starts out by saying, in the beginning, God. Nothing else before God. Nothing. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He is the supreme ruler of the universe. He spoke the word, and the world was created. He gave life. The Bible said he created man, male and female. He created them, two species. That's true of every living thing. Do you know? It's true in animals. You know, it's true in with birds that fly through the air. It's true with fish. It's true with flowers. It's true with trees. You know, everything that has life. God gave them life. And we are responsible to Him. He made of one blood all nations of people to dwell on the face of the earth. And I'm saying the only antidote for lies and false teachings is truth. There's nothing else that will counter it. And the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Now, I could go through. I said that that truth runs all the way through the Bible. There's just one plan of salvation. There's just one way for people to be saved. There are not two ways. One way is not just as good as another. There's only one way. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I could go on. I could talk about a lot more, but I won't. But that system of teachings, for by grace are you saved, runs all the way through the Bible. By grace through faith. The Lord Jesus Christ, He came to the world. He set up His church. And He taught it. He taught the church for 3.5 years, approximately. And you know what the Bible says? I think Brother Mike read it this morning. We should earnestly contend for the things which we have heard. And we should not let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard it, and recorded it in the Word of God, in the Bible? So, there's just one Lord, there's just one faith, there's just one baptism, there's just one heaven, and there's just one hell, and there's just one judgment. It's the faith. And I hope you don't misunderstand my sermon today. I'm trying to encourage you. This church is needed. We need to flourish. We need not be satisfied with having a few meet together on Wednesday night, or a few for Sunday school, and a few more for church. You know, we need to be working while it is day. That's another thing that the Bible says, that we need to work while it's day, while we have the opportunity, for the night is coming when no man can work. And so, I love you. There's no way in the world I could tell you what you mean to me. You've been so good to me. But I'm nobody. The one who's done much more for you, blesses you every day, gives you every breath that you breathe, makes it possible for you to work and support your family, and to enjoy the things of life, is the Lord Jesus. He's the one that has bestowed blessings upon you. And I want you to love Him, and I want you to honor Him, and I want you to make His church grow. Whoever you call for pastor, I'm just praying with all my heart that the Holy Spirit will direct every one of us. That we'll have a unanimous vote here. Whoever it is. A unanimous vote. And that we'll get behind Him. But more than that, I hope you'll get behind this church. Because preachers come and preachers go. But the church remains. Get behind this church. Make this church a lighthouse for Jesus. Make it a soul-saving station. A place where people can come and be blessed and feel the Spirit of the Lord. And where sinners will become convicted of their sins and seek the Lord and get saved. That's what I want. God bless you. I love you. Any testimony from anyone before we go?